GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Now you're welcome back. Fresh from being on the Sunday game last night till about 2 a.m. Colin Cooper is still awake. Hello.
Hi Joe, how are you?
Good. That was a long stint last night.
Yeah, long stint. There was a lot of football to cover over the weekend, but some exciting games and some big results there.
Yeah. So you're in your proper first year of settling into all this retirement business. Second year.
Yeah.
First in a bit.
Yeah, probably more comfortable now than I was maybe. This time last year with the whole lot, but it's fun. I suppose nothing beats playing, but look, it's still great to be involved in some capacity.
You were in before last year. Promoting your book, and you were kind of jokingly saying in that at one stage that you're slightly cold fish and you wouldn't necessarily have phoned former teammates when they retired.
Yeah.
Shoes on the other foot now. Have you been in touch with many of the lads who are still playing on a week-to-week basis?
Rare enough, I have to say. You go from living with guys and seeing them 5 or 6 times a week to not seeing them. I see the lads, I work in Tralee sometimes with AIB as well, so I'm around town, I meet Danahy for a coffee, but we generally don't talk football.
Really?
It's about golf or how unlucky Liverpool are most of the time.
you wouldn't be one for sitting there with them and talking.
Yeah, well, I'm conscious too that they don't want to talk too much about it.
No.
I'm also conscious that I'm in the media and maybe they might want to be controlled with what information is out there and stuff. Yeah. And
well, they can't tell you, say, things aren't going well and then you repeat it on the Sunday game
that
week.
Yeah, exactly. So, look, I get that. And that's just the way it is. So you just move on with things. And, I'm enjoying the media bits. It's great to be involved. And I'm looking forward to the Super 8s. I think that'll be a big development.
Mm. And do you meet, like, say, the Paul Galvins of the world, lads who have retired much?
Yeah, I met Paul a couple of weeks ago in Dublin, actually. But it's amazing, just your life changes and you move on. And for me, it's still great that I'm still playing with Dr. Crokes and I still have that. And we're competitive and we're challenging for honours, which is great. I don't know what I would do if I was completely gone from everything. So, I see the guys. But it's funny, like, the second you're gone, you're a supporter and that's all you are. You know what I mean? Like, I go to Clarny on Sunday supporting Kerry, hoping that they play well like every other supporter, and that's all I am now.
And are you getting much of an itch, seeing as you're still playing for Crokes when you're watching a game? So there's Clare this weekend.
Mm.
Are you getting much of an itch in your legs? Are you tapping your foot a little bit, thinking, oof?
No, I think it's gone.
Is it?
I got it last summer. Certainly got it during the All-Ireland semi-final and the replay against Mayo last year. Because I think when you go in the first year, there's something in you saying, could I still have done something? Could I have added something? Where now I'm completely comfortable that I'm gone from, the game has moved on. And probably there's an evolution of the Kerry team right now as well to say, look, it's a very young team and it's gone. And I've had my time and I've had great fun and hopefully I add a little bit to the legacy and you just move on.
I wonder what will happen when you leave Crokes and you're just not kicking a football. Even just that beautiful thing, and I'd say for you, you enjoyed kicking a football against a wall, whether it was outside of the boot, inside of the boot, the lovely sensual feel you get from kicking a football when you're very good at it.
Yeah.
Be weird to not do that in your life
anymore. Yeah, it'd be very strange. And to be honest, I don't want to think about it too much anyway, because it's just still so much fun for me. I don't know, like, will coaching be something that might come my way or that I would like to get involved in? Yeah, possibly. But
at intercounty level, potentially?
I wouldn't have thought that far down the line, to be honest. I'm involved with the Crokes or under 21 team. I got involved last year.
Mm.
And that was fun. That's something I never did before. And got a greater appreciation for what's involved. And like, I was chatting with Stephen Rochford a little bit earlier. And we were saying, like, you can tell fellas all you want what to do, but they might be able to carry it out, or maybe they won't carry it out. So it's great, but I just love working with football and players and working out ways on how you can get better. So I'm sure at some stage I'll dip my toe in the water.
Because I saw you were talking, Tony Lean had a piece with you recently enough, and you were talking about playing with Crokes and obviously not being involved with Kerry. And you said, this year I don't miss it at all. I love going training with my club. I don't miss the meetings, the tedious stuff associated with modern day inter-county teams. I've discovered there's more to life.
Yeah.
Which is a good quote. Did you know at the time you hated meetings, or have the scales fallen from your eyes?
I did, yeah. And
did you think it was necessary?
Meetings are necessary, but they were becoming more and more like before. You might have a meeting after training in the week of a championship match.
Sure.
We were having more and more meetings. Same as every other inter-county squad, I'm sure, and the video analysis that's going on. And
same as every other industry.
Industry, absolutely. Meetings about meetings. And look, when you have analysis now and it's coming to your phone, people are recording your training matches. It's just, it's the nature of the beast, maybe. And again, this was me after 15 years of playing with Kerry. Maybe I was just getting old and cranky and sick of it. When I came in first, I used to love the video analysis. Paddy O'Shea, that time, had a video recorder, play, rewind. There was no editing of clips like you see now, and I loved it. But I was fresh into a new environment.
Like this will help me improve. I'm learning so much.
This is brilliant. I'm watching matches with all these legends around me. Like, what's not to love about it?
I guess 10 years on, you're like, I've seen a lot of this before.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of this before. Do we really, like, I was going in training at 5 o'clock and not getting home till 11. I'm saying, do we really need to be doing all this? So when you start questioning it, it might be time to step aside. So you know what? I wouldn't change any of it. But
that's what you have to sign up for. I'm talking hypothetical. If you became an inter-county manager and probably club manager these days, you're signing up for a lot of meetings and analysis and talk.
And that's where it's at. And that's where it's at. So given that I'm still playing football, I've no desire at the moment right now. But maybe if I'm not playing, I would have more time and more energy for all this sort of stuff.
Well, energy is the word, because I was going to ask. So you're this driven, angry type, and I know you did a piece with James O'Donoghue, and the lads are going to play it out in OTBM, and you talked about early days being cranky with yourself if you had a bad game, a 6 out of 10 game. So you've got this kind of fire.
Yeah.
Some people really have it. You're probably some kind of type A personality and all this stuff.
Very strange personality.
Very strange. So say the day comes in a couple of years where you say goodbye to Crokes and I'm done. Whatever that is, let's call it fire. Do you just almost say, right, I'm just going to have to let that go now? Or do you feel knowing yourself better than I know you, that you'll have to put that into something? You'll have to be improving at something. You'll have to be competing at something.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very hard to let it go completely. I think it's the energy, the fire will be channeled just somewhere else.
Don't say golf.
I play golf, but I'm not good enough to be channeling it in there. So, look, it's likely that I'll be doing something with Dr. Crokes or maybe something else. But I loved, like, I got huge enjoyment out of playing with people, and sometimes me saying to myself, I can make these fellas better. I can make the fella beside me even a better corner forward.
With a sympathetic pass and a nice
run. Yeah, or bring guys into play, or maybe just say something to them that, you know what, I think this could really work for you. Or you could, if you added this to your game, you could become unstoppable. I got a huge amount of satisfaction out of doing that. And working with guys, both at club and inter-county level. I'd say I used to drive some fellas crackers because you're demanding all the time. And maybe that's unfair, but that's just the type of individual I am, and that won't change, I'd say.
I remember Paul O'Connell saying he became that guy at Munster and would go home feeling a bit guilty some nights, thinking, oh my God, I'm just annoying these lads.
Yeah. Yeah, I got that. I definitely get that, and I was like that. And I'm sure secretly guys would say, maybe when I'm not in the room, that, oh my God, would he ever stop?
Yeah.
But that's just a will to win, I think. Look, it's probably served me well as well, so I saw no reason to change.
I'm sure it serves. I mean, everyone, you separate that, you lose something. When you're looking at, say, under-21s at Crokes, under-20s at Crokes, or even senior inter-county corner forwards or forwards, what are the things, are there things that you feel you would say more often than not to a lot of them? Are there certain trends in the game that you're seeing? Is it about movement? Is it about kicking off both feet? Are there certain things that you're hot on?
I'm a studier of the game, so it's probably everything. Like, depending on what position you're playing, I obviously have an attraction towards forwards because that's where I played all my football. And you're just on about guys' movement and making more than one run and things like that. Just an eye for detail, and maybe sizing up a guy that you might be playing or a team that you might be playing and saying, look, this is where they're a small bit weak, and focusing in on that. And then when you see that coming to fruition, it's very satisfying. It's very satisfying.
Sure, yeah. So. And are we at a point now where, you know, a Conor McManus type has to make about 5 runs to get one ball? And almost in his head, he knows to himself,
yeah,
this is run two of about four here.
Yeah. But, like, just take Conor McManus. Like, he was in and out of the game for so much in Oma, and next thing he comes alive in the last 7 or 8 minutes. And effectively, that was the difference between winning and losing. So that's where the game is at. We talked to James earlier about the 2014 final he played.
Mm.
I don't know if he scored in that match.
Right.
But it's...
About patience.
Patience and learning and... saying and realizing it's okay if I don't touch the ball every 2 minutes. Yeah, like if you're an inside forward, and I, this is probably something I say to younger players who play in these positions. If you give 5 balls inside the 14 or 21 yard line, that could be 5 scores. It could be 1-2. It could be 1-1 and setting up a goal for someone else. Yeah,
decides the game.
Absolutely. So, but when you're young, that's hard to understand.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about then, as you kind of segue into this more relaxed. World is we'd Michael Owen in here, funny enough, interestingly, and I'm not suggesting you were as famous as Michael Owen. You certainly weren't, and I know you wouldn't either. But he was in. He talked about coming back from the World Cup at 18, and just everyone knowing who he was. And he said, "God, it's actually hard to make friends outside of the people I play with, who don't really care that I'm Michael Owen, because they can all play football quite well too."
Yeah.
And he was saying it's only since he's retired that actually he'll go to the races, or he'll be out and about and he'll chat to someone, and he kind of is a bit more open with them, doesn't feel they have an agenda. I remember you saying you'd, you know, height the summer at your worst, you might be out of milk and you'd sooner go without than head to the shops.
Yeah.
Are you loosening up?
Definitely. And I'm more willing to have a conversation now about how Kerry are going to set up the weekend or what's coming down the tracks for different things.
Because you don't feel it's as nosy?
Yeah, I was guarded before. There's no disputing that. I think when you're involved in the setup, for me anyway, I certainly wanted to keep everything in.
Tight,
I don't want anyone to know too much about what we're doing or how we're going or this and that. And that was the way I dealt with it. But definitely now I'm much more relaxed about things. And I suppose I'm out of the scene. So
that must be a more enjoyable way to go about your daily business.
It is. And I'm probably better company as well because of that.
Less cranky.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just a maturity thing too. You kind of growing up and get on with it.
Yeah.
And when you're playing, you can be very sensitive about what you might hear or what someone might say about you and stuff. Do you know what? You move on from that now. And I think that would be the one big change that I kind of see in terms of why did I really care what someone said or when I was playing, you know. But maybe on occasions, you might have given it too much thought. So.
It's hard at the time, though. You're going through it all for the first time. It must be a very weird thing to have people just constantly commenting on you.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
Yeah.
On the odd time in here, you get a glimpse of what it's like if there's a big piece we're doing on the show and people are criticising you or not.
Yeah.
And I mean like a billionth of probably what you lads are dealing with in front of, you know, Sunday game, a million people getting lambasted. I think it takes a very strong 23, 24-year-old to deal with that well initially.
Of course it does. And look where social media is now. You just have to go into your notifications and your name is mentioned and how good or bad you played or what you did or whatever it is. And everybody has an opinion and everybody has a comment. And in some ways, that's great because that's what makes Irish sport what it is. But you just have to become a little bit more thick-skinned as well. And it's taken me a while. I think that comes with maturity too, to be honest, Joe.
You've got to go through it. Are you enjoying your football with Crokes in the sense that I presume you're somewhat diminished in what you can do? You're not training as hard, you're probably not as fast, all these kind of things. Because I think we've all played against a cranky lad in his 30s in football who doesn't like the young lad.
They're the most dangerous.
They're dangerous. You've got to be careful about running around them a second time.
Yeah,
so how are you dealing with that transition into a bit more of a playmaker probably?
It's fine. You know what? I suppose I've been doing that a little bit since 2015 anyway, because when I was coming back after my injury, I couldn't do all the things that I once could, and that was a combination of the injury and age. So, but I'm comfortable in that space now.
It's not frustrating.
I'm not. I'm not our chief score getter probably with Crokes anymore, or maybe Pat O'Shea might think I am, but my stats don't back that up. But I'm cool with it.
Are you?
Yeah.
Because I wonder about that, to be still ostensibly in the same environment. Goals, grass, a football, people around you, to not be able to do what, I don't know, in your brain you've never been able to do.
For instance, we had a county league match last weekend and I just kind of carrying a small bit of a knock, so I only came on for the last 20 minutes and I didn't score. But you can still have an impact in the game.
Sure.
And I get so much satisfaction out of making a pass for someone or seen in the past or just been influential in some shape or form. So
you can live with that.
I can live with that. Okay. I can live with that. And I'm 35 next month, so I have no choice but to live with
it. Championship 2018, I want to ask you about. If we take the weekend that we've just had, I've just actually outside listened to Keane O'Neill talking to reporters after the Kildare match. Right. And his general sense was, I can't explain it. Things were going really well. We trained really hard. We had a brilliant camp last week. I felt we got the league stuff out of our system. Mm-hmm. We're all in a state of shock, was his general feeling. Tomás O'Shea obviously wrote about at the weekend. Did you see that piece?
Yes. In the lead up to the match.
In the lead up to the match. I'm sure Tomás is really saying, well, yeah, I took a risk saying that. At least there's a bit of indication now.
And he said after, I told you so.
Yeah. Well, he did make one point. So you've obviously worked with Keane O'Neill.
Yeah.
He said when he was training us in Kerry, it would crack me up sometimes. He'd be so long-winded with his explanation of a drill. It might take him 5-6 minutes to explain something I often felt could have been clarified in 10 seconds. He said, fair enough. Some players probably appreciated the detail. Honestly, I couldn't bear it. And the general sense I got from Tomás's piece was he was very uncertain over Keane O'Neill as an intercounty manager, whatever about as a coach. Give us your experience, because it's obviously a tough piece.
Absolutely, and I suppose Tomás is a traditionalist, old style football player. That's the way he played the game, that's the way he is. But to be fair to Keane's background is sports science. He works in that field. So I think all those type of people give these long-winded
explanations.
Yeah. I think that's the way their role is, their model. That's in their makeup. Keane, like just from my dealings with Keane, he's excellent physical trainer. Mm-hmm. He can really get a team into incredible condition. He would like to do a lot of the skills based stuff himself. He takes a bit of pride in that. So I don't know how things have got so bad in Kildare, because I went to watch them in Leinster final last year, and I said Dublin won by 7 or 8 points, maybe more in the end, but they were competitive for large periods. And I went away thinking, okay, these guys are coming. Kevin Feely had arrived.
And you weren't thinking, I'm unsure about Keane O'Neill going from the drills and the sports science into the actual role of manager, or were you? Did you have question marks?
I didn't really, because Keane is a very confident type.
Yeah.
And he's a huge amount of experience built up. He's worked with the Tipperary hurlers, he's worked with the Mayo footballers, he's worked with obviously with Kerry. Mm. So that's huge experience to have. And going into his native Kildare, there was never going to be a question that he would put in the time and effort. Mm. But the lack of progression has been the biggest thing. And to go nearly 12 months without a win, albeit in Division 1 is very competitive, but that's where you want to be. Mm. If you want to be a Super A team, you need to perform in Division 1. Mm. And they haven't done that. There seems to be a lack of confidence, maybe a lack of direction where they're going. Do Keane and the management take the flak for that? They have to take a share of it. Mm. The players aren't completely innocent here as well. They're the guys who put on the boots and go out. And if I was a Kildare fan, I'd be really, really disappointed, and I'd really be wondering about where we're going at all.
Mm. Last question then, I guess, about the Championship 2018 in broad terms. So Dublin looked just fine at the weekend. They're ticking over very nicely. Who's best placed to stop them now? Mayo and Tyrone have had early wobbles. Are you expecting big things from Kerry this year?
I expect Kerry to be in the last four. Are they going to be ready to challenge Dublin this year? I'm not quite sure.
Is anyone, I wonder, this year?
Well, Mayo have proven they can compete with them. Now, Mayo have to navigate their way through a topsy-turvy a couple of weeks ahead yet, but I think they will.
Nine games to get to a final.
Yeah, with mileage on the clock. And what I would describe as not too much strength and depth. Mm. That's going to be a real challenge for Stephen Rochford and the management. So I still see them being a Super A team. I think they're going to be in there. Mm. And they've proven that they have the resilience to come back. So I think they'll still be knocking around. Monaghan have been a team in Ulster who have come up. But the one thing that I would say is that if you think back to Monaghan, Tyrone, that was level with 4 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. So maybe Tyrone aren't as bad as people.
No, but then you think of the semi-final against Dublin 100%. Last year. 100%. it's hard to see anyone stopping them.
Absolutely,
really,
no. I haven't seen anything from league and championship today to suggest that anyone can topple Dublin. Mm. And we're all looking for contenders. I could list out 3 or 4 teams that can be contenders, but are they real, real contenders? I'm not quite sure. Mm.
And the general health of the game, are you enjoying football?
I'm enjoying it, you know, like, sometimes we go on a lot about the negativity of matches and mismatches and the whole lot, but I think the Super 8 is going to be really good this year. Mm. I was a bit undecided when it came in, but I think it's going to throw up really big fixtures and the opportunity to play home and away games and play in Croke Park.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be exciting, and I think there is definitely a possibility for more scalps like we saw yesterday, and it'll really hot up in July, I think.
And are you, Kieran Whelan's kind of musing last weekend on the Sunday game, well, do we maybe need to go to 13 aside given fitness levels now and just basic physics? Are you thinking that the game is in need of that kind of help, that the situation has gone that serious?
I don't think so. I can see why Kieran might make that point, but I don't think it's as bad as people are making out at all. We still have competitive matches. If you think back to 40 years ago, we still had teams getting hammered. We still had mismatches. We still had all this.
The terrible games.
Absolutely.
Even between good teams, it
yeah,
happens.
And if you look at the quality of football and some of the reruns that you see on television, some of the quality there wasn't great. Mm. So the GA and Gaelic football will always have issues, but I don't think it's as bad as people are making out. And I still think we're going to get a highly competitive summer, albeit Dublin are out there on their own at the moment.
Listen, I know you're an RT man now, so I won't see you for a while, but we won't hold that against you. Thanks, William, for coming in.
Thanks, Joe.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.